Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Few literary works explore the themes of sin, penance, and dignity as compellingly as The Scarlet Letter. Plan B Theater brings Hester Prynne to the stage in a new adaptation of Nathaniel Hawthorne's classic novel, and joining me now in studio to talk about guilt, social stigma, the cost of redemption. Very heavy themes for this morning show, but very compelling themes. Jennifer Nee, she is playwright of The Scarlet Letter. This is her second world premiere at Plan B Theater Company, the first being Wallace. And Jennifer Nee joins me in studio. Jennifer, hi. Thanks so much for your time.
Hi, thank you.
Also with us, Cheryl Clough. She's the managing director and co-founder of Plan B Theater Company. And she is directing this production of The Scarlet Letter. And Cheryl, nice to see you again.
Great, thank you.
If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. If you have questions or comments about this new interpretation of the Hawthorne classic, you can send email as well to cityviews@kcpw.org. Jennifer Nee, I want to start with you first. Why take on what some consider the great American novel? How daunting was this challenge to adapt The Scarlet Letter to the stage?
Very. Possibly I wouldn't have done it if it had it not been for the wonderful Jerry Rapier at Plan B Theater Company, who has been so supportive of me, and other local playwrights here. We had a conversation, and he said, how would you feel about this? And my eyes probably widened to the size of planets, and, on one hand, I was incredibly daunted, but on the other hand, what a great opportunity. And with Plan B Theater Company, you know that you're going to get such support that I couldn't turn it down, and it was such a privilege.
What struck you as you read and reread the novel? What really came at you through these readings that you wanted to convey in an adaptation?
Well, first of all, I wanted to be as faithful as I could be to the original text. You can't get better than Hawthorne. So I wanted to do as much as I could to remain faithful to that text. But, as I was working on this play, I saw themes that became increasingly relevant in the public discourse. And that was both interesting to me as a writer, and also, I'll be honest, a little distressing. Mm. The questions came to mind of how far have we progressed from the time that Hawthorne wrote the novel. So it was really interesting to read through the text and just see how many issues remained and were even amplified because people have much louder voices and they can reach far more people. So it was really interesting and sad.
Mm. Before we get to some of those contemporary themes and the strains that you see in the public discourse, let's refresh the listening audience with the basic plot devices. Cheryl Clough,
yes.
Hester Prynne, a very attractive young woman, has a child out of wedlock. Introduce some of the other characters to us.
Yes. Well, in this play, like you said, we have Hester, and then we have her pastor, and then we also have her husband who shows up after, they have all come in the ships, and he stays behind and gets kind of caught up in this, to make a long story short, he gets left behind for a while. And
this is set in puritanical America.
Yes, yes, yes. And so she's there by herself for 2 years. Is that about right, Jennifer? Or is it longer than that?
It was a bit longer.
Okay. All right. She gets left by herself for a while. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, she gets pregnant and has a child. And the people of the town decide to shame her publicly and put her up on this scaffold and for everyone to see and mock and judge. And during this scene, her husband shows up. And nobody knows that that's her husband. except for her, because nobody's seen him. And
this
decides,
is the doctor, Roger.
Yes, he is a physician. He is a physician. And so he convinces her to keep the secret of who he really is. And she won't tell him who's the father of her baby. And he decides that he is going to find out the man and torment him. But she
promises. What's his motivation, Cheryl Clough, do you think? Is it pure revenge? What motivates Roger Chillingworth?
I think it is revenge. And there seems to be, with a lot of the characters, the fear of public shame. He is a cuckold, basically. He's been cuckolded, if that's the correct term. So I think that that is part of it. Someone has come in and taken his place, essentially, with his wife, who he was very fond of. And she is young and she is beautiful. And but basically, I think the kernel of it is the fear of public shame. So the play jumps forward 7 years, and the baby Pearl is a little bit older. And we start to discover who her father is, and we see Dimmesdale and Chillingworth establish a friendship, and we see Chillingworth going for what he said he was going to do.
Dimmesdale, of course, is the pastor that you mentioned. We're talking with Cheryl Clough. She's the director of Plan B's production of The Scarlet Letter, which opens this Thursday, April 12th, at the Rose Wagner Theater here in Salt Lake City. Also with us, Jennifer Nee, the playwright of this adaptation of The Scarlet Letter. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Jennifer Nee, I think one of the really interesting characters is the Reverend Arthur Dimmesdale. Why, and we discover later, of course, that he is the father of Pearl. Why is he so protective of the secret? Is it his place in society? Is it because he has such extreme shame? Or is he somewhat embarrassed to be linked with Hester Prynne? What is it, do you think?
Well, pardon me. In my reading of the novel, Dimmesdale is truly a sad character. On the one hand, he is, oh golly, he is sincere, really sincere in his devotion to his God and to his community, and wants desperately to not betray that mission that he feels and the trust of those who would listen to him. There's also another aspect, I believe, in that he wants desperately to be loved in return for that devotion. And when he doesn't feel worthy of that because he knows his sin, it eats at him to the very, very core.
And he becomes very physically ill. And that's where Roger Chillingworth sort of enters his life. Roger Chillingworth, of course, is a doctor, but does not realize that the object of his scorn will be his patient. Let's turn to Pearl, the daughter. Very much a symbol in the novel of the stain embodied. You know, she is the Scarlet Letter. She doesn't come off really as a vulnerable child would. How does she accept this new knowledge that she does have a father? Cheryl Clough?
Well, personally, I think she has known all along that who her father is. And she really wants to know about him. But Arthur Dimmesdale, whenever she tries to get him, the three of them to be a family and the three of them to bond together, he keeps saying, not now, not now, not now. I can't do it now. Someday, someday we'll do it. And she keeps saying, when? When will you basically let go of this fear and be who you are? And he just keeps putting her off. And I believe that there is, she gets pretty angry with him at various points in the play to do that. So she really wants him there, but she sees his weakness and she calls him a coward several times, a liar and a coward. And I think she is disappointed that he is like that.
Mm. There's this very powerful moment in the play when Hester and Pearl encounter Dimmesdale in the forest, and they sort of reveal their love to each other and make a plan. And Jennifer Nee, as you very powerfully write, that, you know, she lets down her hair. She reveals herself as a woman, not as a symbol of scorn anymore.
Right.
How difficult was it to write that particular moment? I think it's really, really touching.
Hawthorne made it really, really easy. That's one of the scenes in the novel that I didn't have to really work to, I won't say translate, but to transition to the stage. He wrote just about every element that I included in the play. And it was one of the more, the entire novel is powerful from beginning to end. But this is when Hawthorne really sort of revealed these characters as being human, as opposed to just being driven by these more external motives. He allows us to see a bit of their heart, and it really deepens the characters and increases the tragedy of what happens to them.
We've only got about a minute left, but earlier in the conversation, you talked about you were troubled by some of the contemporary strains that you see that make this particular play, this story, so relevant today. Why do you think audiences need to confront some of these social stigmas that remain?
Because I think that they create the same level of pain and shame that I don't know that we need to feel at this time, and that we need to inflict upon one another. I think one of the great commentaries of this novel and one of the great questions that Hawthorne poses is, can we not act with more compassion? Can we not behave with a little bit more kindness toward one another and forgiveness toward one another of our mistakes, if we consider them mistakes, because we are all human? And that the consequences of our actions do have real impact and potential for damage.
Again, very quickly, though, but with people living together, marriage is on the decline, single parenting is prolific here mm-hmm. in contemporary society. Is that adultery theme as powerful today? Or do you see it morphing in some way?
Yes, and yes. I do think that in some circles it's really important for people to preserve that sense of marriage, what it is, and what it is to be faithful to one's belief about what it is. And I think that we are seeing a debate as to how we treat people who have a different interpretation of what a relationship and what love is.
Jennifer Nee, playwright of The Scarlet Letter, which premieres this Thursday, April 12th at the Rose Wagner. Also, Cheryl Clough, the director of the production. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW in Salt Lake City. Thanks to Tamara Kemsley, Katie Sheen Abbott, and Jesse Ellis. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.